Today we're going to talk about our third part of our Truly Truly series. Again, we're going to be going back to this over the years. We've got one more in this installment. But have you ever met somebody that used a lot of filler words? Maybe it was the word like, and everything they said was like, or maybe it was, you know, or anyway, or literally when it doesn't make sense. A guy in my church growing up used to use the phrase, what you call, after every sentence, like literally every sentence. And I mean literally in the literal form. He would say, I went to the store the other day, what you call, and they didn't have any baked beans, what you call. So I went to the manager, what you call. And every word, at the end of every sentence was this filler word. Well, Jesus didn't have any filler words. In fact, he was very deliberate in what he told us to do. There were many times the Bible tells us that he didn't say things. And there was times when he was silent. He had every word measured out exactly how he wanted it to be. And 25 times in the book of John, he starts a statement with truly, truly. And some translations say verily, verily. In the Greek, this word is amen. And when it's at the front of a sentence, it means truly, truly, what I'm about to say to you is true and I know it firsthand. And in this series, we've grouped some of these verses by subject. And so far, we've seen that God is present and is working. We've seen that he can bring dead things alive. And we've seen that we must be born again. So today, we're going to pay attention to these statements in John that Jesus flags for us. And last week, we started the story of the Pharisee Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night to find out if Jesus was the real deal. And Jesus told him he must be born again. But Nicodemus didn't get it. So Jesus takes a little bit more time and explains it even more. And during this conversation, it's a big conversation, and there are three truly, truly statements in this talk that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And there's one that we didn't get to cover last week. Now, the Pharisees were people who were committed to the study of God's word. But also, they were very important to them was something called the Mishnah, which was the oral tradition of the day. This is what they told everybody that they were supposed to do. And this is something that they came up with, and they passed it along that this is what a follower of God should look like. And in their mind, it began to become right up there with the Bible. And Jesus called them out about following the Mishnah to the letter of the law and the traditional law while neglecting more important matters of God, God's word, like justice and mercy and faithfulness. And the Pharisees that Jesus clashed with were self-righteous and they were smug and they felt like they were better than everybody else because of their strict adherence to this tradition. And it's in this context that Jesus points out that it's concerning that Nicodemus isn't following this conversation about spiritual rebirth that we started last week. In John chapter 3 and verse 9, Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, we say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." And Nicodemus was a leader and a teacher of the Jews, and if anyone should have understood this stuff, it was Nicodemus. But he had to put all of his accomplishments aside and all of his, outward things that people would be impressed with to admit that he was confused. And that he needed revelation from Jesus, and he needed to be shown the way. So Nicodemus was stuck in an intellectual and earthly way of thinking. He just wasn't putting the pieces together. So Jesus tells him that he must be spiritually reborn. And Nicodemus says, "How? How? Show me." See, Nicodemus knew the Old Testament, and Jesus knew that he knew enough to be expected to understand. And Jesus also knew that Nicodemus knew enough about him and his ministry to have been expected to understand. He had seen enough. But Nicodemus hadn't taken the leap yet. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen, Jesus says, but you did not receive our testimony. So in order to explain this deeper, Jesus goes back to a story in Numbers 21 to nail down the answer to Nicodemus's question. How can I be born again? Nicodemus is thinking that there's so many laws and there's so much that he has to do in order to have this relationship with God. And Jesus knew that Nicodemus would be familiar with this passage. Jewish scholars spent a large part of each day in the study of Scripture. And they would also memorize large parts of Scripture. Some even knew the whole Old Testament. So Jesus points Nicodemus in his mind back to the book of Numbers, back when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, and they grew tired and they grew impatient. So they began to complain against God and against Moses, saying, why did you bring us out of Egypt, out here into the wilderness? You wanted us to die out here instead of die back there? And they're guilty of disobedience and grumbling and an unthankful spirit. God had just freed them from slavery in Egypt, miraculously, and they had already turned on it. So because of their sin, their egregious sin of rejecting God and saying and tearing him down, God sent poisonous snakes among them, and many were bitten, and many died, and no one could save themselves. See, once bitten, there was nothing that they could do to stop the poison. And the people come to Moses, and they're like, oh no, we messed all of this up. We've sinned by speaking against the Lord and speaking against you. And they asked Moses, pray that he will take the snakes away. And Moses prayed, and God told them to make a bronze snake, a statue of a snake, and to put it on a pole, and anyone who was bitten would look at it and live. Here's a painting of, I'm not going to act this one out, but here's a painting from the 1500s of this situation, and you see the bronze snake here, and you see the people that are dying and getting bitten. I'm not sure why there was so much nudity in their art back then, but it's an interesting thing. I'm glad that I was never painted back then, because that would be revealing. But Moses did as God commanded. Those who looked at the bronze snake were healed and they lived. And so Jesus ties this Old Testament story into his conversation with Nicodemus. He told him he must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how? How can this spiritual heavenly birth happen? And we see it in verse 15. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent, in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus says, I'm going to be lifted up like the bronze snake. And just like it healed of physical poisoning, I will save you from the poison of sin. All you have to do is look and live. He's telling Nicodemus, you know, all these laws about how you, tithe off of small things as small as mint and cumin and spices, and how you go to the letter of the law and you only take a certain amount of steps on the Sabbath day. And you have all of these rituals and rules that are tied up in your following of God. Jesus says, you need to put all that to the side and you simply need to look and live. And Jesus was the answer to their prayer to save them. He is God's cure for sin sickness in this world. And when we look to Jesus in faith, believing in what he did for us on the cross, we receive forgiveness and eternal life. So Nicodemus came confused but sincere. And he had a lot of Bible knowledge, and he had all the religious vigor and background that you could ever ask for. But he was missing the most important thing, a spiritual rebirth from heaven, something that he couldn't work towards or attain on his own. And he simply had to surrender that he was lost and destined for punishment on his own. And all he could do is look to Jesus and live. Jesus said, truly, truly, you don't need more knowledge. You need to believe on me. N.T. Wright says, humankind as a whole has been smitten with a deadly disease. And the only cure is to look at the Son of Man dying on the cross and find life through believing in him. The Bible doesn't explicitly tell us Nicodemus's reaction to all this, but many scholars do believe that Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus because of how his actions changed across the Gospel of John. He starts off cautious and curious, coming to Jesus by night, but later he shows courage and devotion. When other religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus, we see Nicodemus quietly defending Jesus. And he said, "Does our law condemn a man without first hearing him?" He's trying to slow them down. And this was risky. He was pushing back against his own group. He knew what they thought, but he wanted them to pause and to take a moment. It suggests that Nicodemus's respect for Jesus was growing. But then after the crucifixion, Nicodemus brought an unusually large amount of burial spices. It says about 75 pounds. That's almost my body weight. 75 pounds to help Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. This would have been very expensive, a burial fit for a king. And we remember the story of Mary washing Jesus' feet with the perfume, and Judas makes a big deal about how expensive it was. Well, this is 100 times that amount of burial spices that Nicodemus brought. And this is an open and public act of devotion that was a clear sign of how Nicodemus felt about Jesus. It meant identifying himself with Jesus at a time when most of the disciples were hiding in fear. And this shows a clear shift in Nicodemus's life. It seemed to me that he looked on the lifted Son of Man and received eternal life. Nicodemus was sure at first, and he had questions and doubts, but he was sincere. And Jesus took the time and gave him the words of life. But in this next passage, in our next Truly Truly, we're going to see a different approach that some people had to following Jesus. If you have your Bibles out there, jump to chapter 6, because we're going to read like 15 verses. And we see before this, Jesus feeds the 5,000 by multiplying the loaves and the fish. And after this, the crowd forcibly wanted to make Jesus king. But Jesus wasn't interested in ruling the government. His kingdom was eternal and is eternal. But the crowd kept on following Jesus, even after Jesus got in a boat and left them all behind. Apparently, the crowd didn't get the hint, and they jumped into any boat that they could find, and they followed Jesus. And from the outset, we might say that compared to Nicodemus, these people were bold. They were not scared to be seen as wanting to be followers of Jesus. But we will soon see that unlike Nicodemus, these people were not sincere. They had other motives. So we'll be in John chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, "When the crowd found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' And then they said to him, What must we do?'" Remember that? "What must we do? How can I be born again?" We saw that with Nicodemus. What must we do?" the crowd says, "to be doing the works of God." And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What works do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven." And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. And all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son of Man and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on that last day. Remember that Nicodemus was hung up on the physical. How could I be in my mother's womb again and be born a second time? Nicodemus was trying to understand, but he was having trouble processing it. But this crowd of people literally just wants Jesus to give them something. Jesus had fed the 5,000 and now they wanted more. They wanted more signs. They wanted more spectacle. They wanted more physical sustenance. They wanted to have stuff. And Jesus tries to turn the conversation to spiritual things. He says, do not get hung up on loaves of bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And when you partake of me, you get more than a full belly for a few hours. You get eternal life. Jesus says, God sent me and he told me to do signs to prove who I was. But the signs aren't the point. The God behind the signs is the point. And they try to manipulate Jesus to prove who you are. Moses was a great leader. And if you're such a great leader, give us manna like he did. As Jesus says, Moses didn't give you the manna from heaven. God did. And right now, the bread of life is standing right in front of you. And you don't want him. They just wanted to use him. They're missing the creator of the universe, the savior of the world, for some toast. And Jesus knows that they don't want him. They just want to use him. And Jesus says, forget the bread, come to me, and I will give you eternal life and fill your spiritual belly and quench your spiritual thirst. You'll be known by your creator and loved by him and given purpose and meaning. In this long passage that we read, we saw these truly, trulys. First, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man, which the Son of Man will give to you. And then we saw, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then, like Nicodemus tells the people to look on him like that bronze snake in the wilderness, like he's first told Nicodemus, now he tells this crowd, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Jesus offered them something so much better than bread. And look, I like bread and you like bread. We go to Texas Roadhouse and we're the most excited about bread. But eternal life is better. But they see this crowd of people were not like Nicodemus. They weren't sincerely looking for answers. They just wanted something from Jesus. They wanted God to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to fulfill their desires. And when Jesus didn't cave into their demands, they started to attack Jesus. And the next verse says that they started to grumble when Jesus didn't give them what they wanted. And they started to doubt him and attack his credentials. Just a little while ago, they were asking Jesus to do signs and miracles. Feed 5,000 people again with just a couple loaves and a fish. They wanted him to be king just a little while ago. But when he didn't do what they wanted, all of a sudden they started asking, who is this guy anyway? Why are we following him again? He says he's the bread of life from heaven. Who does he think he is? Jesus just wanted to give them the true source of nourishment and satisfaction. They didn't want anything to do with that, though. So we see these two kinds of people today in these two different truly, truly accounts. First, we see Nicodemus. He came to Jesus quietly, maybe even nervously, but he came sincerely. He had questions, and Jesus met him there. First, Jesus said, truly, truly, You aren't receiving my testimony. But then Jesus took the time to show him that the only way to eternal life is to look on the Son of Man lifted up, to believe and live. And then we see the crowd. First we see Nicodemus, and then we see the crowd. They came boldly and loudly, and they made a big show, but they weren't sincere. They didn't want Jesus himself. They wanted what Jesus could give them. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, you just want me for what I can do for you." And when he didn't meet their expectations, they turned on him. People are interested in following Jesus for all types of reasons. They want to fix their financial position, or they want to see their candidate win, and they want some kind of miracle in their life, or to undo some kind of consequences in their life. But Jesus himself is better than any of that temporary stuff. Don't miss Jesus looking for bread. Both Nicodemus and the crowd had that same invitation: look to the Son and believe. One responded with faith, the other with frustration. And that's still the invitation today. Jesus is still saying, "Truly, truly, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes on me will never thirst." He's not offering temporary satisfaction or quick fixes. He's offering eternal life. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to bring anything to the table. You simply have to look to him, to look at the Son of Man lifted up and believe. So the question is, which group do you fit into today? Are you like Nicodemus? Maybe a little cautious, but sincere, really wanting answers and willing to take the step of faith, even willing to sacrifice to identify as a follower of Jesus? Or are you more like the crowd, chasing after temporary things, in danger of missing eternal life that is standing right in front of you? To both, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, look to me and live." He is still the cure for the poison of sin. He is still the bread of life who satisfies forever. And he's still calling us to believe. So right there in your homes, let's take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe today what you need to do is to remind your heart and tell your Savior that you just want him. Even if the promotion doesn't come through, even if the miracle doesn't come, that you know he still deserves your worship. Or maybe you jumped on today on this live stream on this Sunday morning, and what you really need to do today is to be born again. To be born from above, to look on Jesus lifted up on the cross to save you from the poison of your sin. Not any amount of religious activity, not any amount of good that you have done, simply looking on what Jesus did on the cross and believing. And that's what you need to do today. Maybe you need to believe in him for eternal life. I want to go ahead and close us out in prayer. And you pray in your homes together. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for these examples in your word. I thank you for the Bible, God. It's just such an amazing help to us in this crazy, crazy world. We thank you for the example of Nicodemus, who didn't have all the answers he thought he did before he came to Jesus. But as he interacted with Jesus, he knew that he needed something else. And he understood that he needed to be born again. And we see through his life that he wasn't scared after the resurrection to identify with Christ. And I pray you help us to be bold like he was and to make a sacrifice for you. God, we also pray for those, God, that might be listening, or those that we might interact with, God, that are looking for something from Jesus, to get something from him. They don't want a relationship, they want stuff. They want circumstances to change. God, I pray even in those situations, God, that you reveal yourself to those people and draw them to yourself, that they might look on you and live. God, we pray for every person as we go through a week that probably looks a little bit different. I pray that you would help us to be representatives and ambassadors for you, God. Help us to be bright lights. Help us to check in on our friends and neighbors. Help us to be people of love and hope and peace. God, we love you, and we thank you for this ability to be able to meet today. And we praise you for all you're going to do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.